When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Or what? Or what?
What an epic show. Ugh, okay. Yes. Hello. Welcome. Welcome to The Reality Is. We are so excited. This is, I had so much adrenaline.
You are speechless. You're speechless.
No. I have so much adrenaline that I didn't sleep until like 2 a.m. last night because I was just like on fire from watching that goddamn show. We record on Thursday nights and Wednesday night, I was just hopped up.
Wednesday night, I went to bed and everybody loved us. And then Thursday morning, I woke up and everybody on Twitter was hating on us.
No, not everybody, just dumbasses.
Yeah.
You know, Twitter is a crazy place. Let me tell you, Twitter is a wild fucking app. Every time I talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I learn that Twitter is a wild place where you cannot have an opinion about anything.
Anything. And if you have to pick teams and you have to stick to them, regardless
of how shitty somebody is on one particular episode, you cannot talk about that person being shitty at all, because then you're racist.
Yeah. Not just you're racist, you don't have a spine. You are at once too progressive for half of the crowd and too conservative for the rest of the crowd.
Oh my God, that's my life. Okay, so first of all, before we get into the episode, we have to take a minute to address the fact that we launched our Patreon on Wednesday morning. It's now Thursday evening.
Yeah.
And we already have like 20 patrons.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked because what? Who the fuck are we?
Who the fuck are we? Why?
I mean, don't say that too much, because then they're going to be like, wait, should we not support you?
Yeah.
But thank you guys so much. So there's a whole bunch of people that supported us.
Whole bunch of people were drunk on Wednesday night and did some, you know, it's like a drunk purchase, right? You're like in the middle of the night. You're looking at it.
Oh, it's like the way you signed up to be Cookie Mom. Mm-hmm. It's like the same way they were like, all right, this seems like a good idea. They're going to regret it later. No, we hope you don't regret it. But hey, did Ida hit your part of the woods yesterday?
Yes. A lot of flooding and rain. Mm-hmm. Some parts of Maryland had flooding and other parts had mini tornadoes touched down. So, but we survived.
Yeah. Same in New Jersey. New Jersey was crazy. So I happen to live on a little bit of a hill. Yeah. But the town to my right and the town and the area of my town to my left were all struggling with water.
Yeah, they're all low level. Like, you are on a hill, so I had to drive up to your house.
Okay, well, let's not make people make it sound like I live on
in a ski chalet.
A special plate.
Huh? a ski chalet.
I don't live in the only ski chalet in New Jersey.
You're not. Okay? You don't live in the ski chalet eating caviar pies.
I'm not living on a hill in Paramus. Okay. But there was a lot of flooding. I had a friend that got stuck on the road for 6 hours, which was crazy.
Oh my God.
But you know what was fucking crazy? It's like, woke up in the morning and it was the most gorgeous sunny day.
It was beautiful.
I felt gaslit by Mother Nature.
Yeah, the temperature was beautiful. It wasn't fall cold, but it didn't feel crisp like fall, but it felt more like a spring day. It was just the right temperature and everything looked green and bright and beautiful. The sky looked beautiful.
Yeah. It was crazy, but stay safe out there. And if you ever needed to be understanding of climate change, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
The entire country is going through something.
COVID is due to climate change. This is due to climate change. There's going to be a lot of different things that are going to happen to us because of climate change.
And if they're not happening because of climate change, they're happening because conservative people want to control women's bodies.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So are you going to march? Women's march immediately within 5 minutes. I had a text from Women's March saying, we are going to march.
Nobody invited me.
You are not on a listserv of progressive women? Oh, maybe, wow.
Maybe I'm not that progressive. Did you think about that?
Yeah.
No, maybe I'm a racist xenophobe,
mm-hmm.
especially according to Twitter.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter thinks you are, so must be true.
Oh, yay, yay. All right, let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Will you? Let's just get into
it. You want to start with there? Okay, we can do.
Well, we can do New York.
Yeah, it felt like, you know, when a season ends,
mm-hmm.
they have a reunion.
Yeah.
And then they will release an, you know, never-before-seen episode.
Yes.
That's what this felt like.
But I loved it.
I loved every bit of it. And it was fun.
So fun.
And I wish it had been this way. I was like, who knew that Luann and her games would be the icebreaker here?
Okay, listen, I'm just glad that nobody put on blackface. Because I was like, this is, you're impersonating people of color.
That was close, right?
In the past, this has gone, you know, when Sonia was getting ready and doing her makeup, I was like, oh no, this could get really bad. But it didn't. I mean, I love the episode completely. And I thought about it, about why it was so good. And I think it's because when they first started filming, we've always said this before, Ebony had no relationship with these women.
Mm-hmm.
And now this last episode, by this point, they've gone through a whole bunch of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And now they actually have a relationship with each other.
Right.
They've actually created a bond. They've been hanging out. Sonia had COVID for a while. There's all this shit going on, right? So I think that that's why at the end we see a product where people actually have a relationship with each other and why it's actually fun to watch. And that's why it was not fun to watch. I mean, I liked watching the beginning a little bit, but that's why it got so awkward, is because you're essentially having conversations about sex and politics and religion with your coworkers, and it's not smooth. So I loved it. I loved it. Can we talk about everybody's boobs?
Yeah.
What a great cast of boobs.
Right.
And bodies.
Yes, bodies too.
I mean, everybody is thin, but they're not like, I like that they don't have, nobody has like rock hard bodies.
Yeah. Even Leah, for being the thinnest there.
Yeah.
She had a normal body.
Yeah, it was like dimples and, you know, creases and folds. And I really loved it. Like, there was just, it was great. They were bearing breasts and breaking dishes. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad Ramona hasn't done as much work on her body as she has on her face.
Yeah.
It actually felt refreshing.
Are Luann's boobs real?
I think so.
They're amazing.
They're awesome.
She's got an amazing body, this stupid bitch. I love her. Yeah. I love her body.
Right. And for Ramona in her, this is what her 20, what season, how many years has she been doing this?
Like 20 like, years. Yeah.
It took Ramona 20 years to get to Alex's level of non-prudishness or unprudishness or whatever. It took her 20 years. She finally did it. Yeah,
Ramona, the woman who walked off stage because Alex once posed for a nude photo, is here bearing her boobies and and encouraging her castmates to bear
castmates
their boobies.
Castmates to do it.
I mean,
and bought pasties for all of them.
Bought pasties for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that everybody was being really real, but I did feel really sad for Sonia at some parts because I do think that Sonia was still really... Sonia was really fucked up still this episode.
Yeah.
Didn't you get that sense?
Yeah, she was.
Like when they're talking about their sexual experiences and Sonia can't have an honest conversation about that. Right. I feel like once Harry called, she kind of like her mood changed.
Yeah, her mood changed a little bit. She became down again.
Yeah, and then even after when they were doing the doppelgangers, Brashan was like, oh yeah, this is $10 from Century 21. And she was like, that's because they went bankrupt. Like she was just very, she was really weird about all of it.
Still. I think she comes from a place of such deep insecurity that anything that is mentioned, she cannot take it as a joke. She takes it as, here's another example of how I failed.
Yes.
It's not funny. Oh, you're making fun of my pain, because everything is is so deeply painful to her.
I think Sonia prefers to clown out, if you will, ahead of anybody else, because then she's making the jokes about herself rather than anybody else making the jokes about her.
So do you think that comedy cabaret-esque that she's doing, I cannot even say that, is sort of an extension of that?
Yeah, I mean, she tried to do it once before.
Yeah. I know everybody goes off and, she's also like the rest of them. She's terrible. She's a Morgan. She has all these other issues. But I also feel for her as being a deeply, deeply hurt and sad individual.
She really is. Yeah. You know, I thought about something this episode, and especially because I watched it this afternoon. No, I watched it yesterday afternoon, right before I watched Beverly Hills. And I was thinking about Salt Lake City coming up and everything.
Yeah.
The bar for the standard of a good housewife season is kind of changing, because Beverly Hills, you have this federal indictment.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City, you have this federal indictment, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to compete with that. Obviously, New York, one of the craziest seasons of New York was after Luann got arrested.
Right.
And then went to rehab. And then they all went to Miami, and you had that crazy feud between Carol and Bethany and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It was still very comedic. It did start to get a little bit dark, but that was a really, really good season.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, like, I think that it's tough because this episode of New York was pure comedy. It was very funny. It was
really silly. I even found Leah likable.
Leah was likable. Leah talking about Rob and getting emotional about that situation. Like, that was such a real moment. But it's tough. It's like, I don't know what the future of New York is, and if New York can sustain against these shows like Salt Lake City and Beverly Hills that are doing these really big things now. I don't know how it can stand up to that if they're not delivering on the comedy. And the comedy will only work as long as we see these people as tone deaf and out of touch, and so tone deaf and so out of touch that their xenophobia and racism and sexism and all that shit can still be somehow covered with the mask of these people don't have any real control over our world, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is that we're learning more and more that they do have a control over their world. I mean, we've always known they do, but we got to like put it aside and like not think about it. It's hard to laugh at or along with somebody who you know is so problematic. And it's confusing to me that the ladies of New York seem to be getting along so well at the end of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened that we haven't had a reunion?
Yeah. Okay. You took me on a journey just now.
I'm sorry.
A second there, I thought, are you making a case that Ramona is, however toxic she is, she's essential?
No.
Then I thought, oh, no. I'm saying that is a problem that we cannot ignore it anymore. We used to, but we cannot.
Yes.
But then you ended it with what went wrong since the last episode. So it's like
so many questions.
It's so many questions. We don't know what happened, because if they were all getting along, it almost felt like they should leave them alone, because then they can come back next season and they can keep the comedy going before they get into any petty stuff, right? They almost seem to have made up for all of their issues with each other. I didn't think that Ramona held in any animosity. I didn't think that any of the others were thinking about their feuds. Leah wasn't. Definitely not Ebony. And then for them to then get into a place where they are not even able to have a reunion is quite surprising. It's really like what happened behind the scenes that we don't know about.
Yeah. I wonder if some of that has to do with the fact that you watch these things happen to you in real life, and then when you have to rehash them, it's a little bit more difficult to rehash, right? Like, even if we think about how Dallas ended, the season itself ended fine.
Yes.
But then when we got to the reunion, so much stuff had happened on social media that things had really, you know, gotten out of hand. Or the relationship had really changed between the women.
Now they're saying there is going to be a reunion for New York, though.
Yes, apparently.
That's the rumor from today. I don't know.
The rumors are stupid. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll believe it when I see it. Just tell me what you're playing so that I know what to record and watch and then talk about it for my podcast.
Right.
That's where I'm at with New York. But I feel like if
they delayed too much, then we won't really be as interested, because we already the ratings have been low and people aren't really engaging.
Yeah.
And once Salt Lake City comes, all the focus is going to go in there. If they bring New York reunion together just as Salt Lake City is starting and all the juicy parts are coming, I don't know how much they're going to get the attention, how much that's going to make a
New York is New York, I think, like, regardless of how, what else is on TV. Apparently, the ratings for New York have been low for a couple of years now. I didn't know because I never track the ratings and stuff. I'm not that kind of a TV person.
If I like something, I watch it. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't really care about what the ratings are. But I know for a lot of people that do, they've always pointed out that New York's ratings have been pretty bad for a long time. But the people that watch it regularly still continue to watch it. Beverly Hills ratings have been up regardless of the fact that they've served us, you know, doggone doo-doo nails for the last, like, 5 years. Right. Okay. So I think New York will be fine regardless, but I do wonder about the impact of these other shows and how they're going to be changing up the bar or the standard for what we expect out of these shows. Like, we used to watch these shows because they were unbelievably wealthy women who were living fabulous lives and behaving poorly, right?
Yeah,
that's why we watched it. It was hilarious to watch. I mean, we still watch, like, Potomac for that because they're all richer than all of us.
Okay.
And I'm okay, Miss Maryland.
No, I'm just saying I'm not rich, but I'm not saying so that I am rich.
So you're not rich, and then you still go, eh, they're not rich. They're really not that rich. But what I'm saying is, like, you're still watching these women do fabulous things and stuff, you know? So, I mean, famously Potomac, if we will not forget, that very first season cast trip was to Bethany Beach with twin beds and no air conditioning.
Exactly, yeah. So that was a Airbnb rental that they used.
No, it was Ashley's. It was Michael's family. I know. Beach
Ashley
house.
Gives it out for Airbnb rentals, I bet.
Oh, I'm sure. But, you know, that my point is that I wonder how we're going to change the way we consume this stuff. If it's not juicy, it needs to be hilarious. And obviously Potomac delivers on the hilarity.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But let's talk about something juicy.
No, let's do.
Let's talk about our houses at Beverly Hills. Now, we did open up on PK and Dorit.
PK! Oh, my God. I was so happy to see him. I know people hate him. But I love to see the resident diabetic show up every once in a while.
The resident diabetic.
It's just, you know, talk about, you know, he always shows up with something in his hand. He's either eating or drinking. Always in sweatpants. So I sort of identify with that kind of PK. I identify with fat PK, who thinks he's got this brilliant ideas and he's having so much inspiration. The way PK started, and I was laughing the whole time as she was trying out the different clothes, and PK was giving them the names, kind of names for all of those dresses. Like, he's just literally plucking a word, and he's like literally looking at something and just stating what it is. Like, what is this? Like, it's a pearl. It's a pearl.
Where does a pearl come from?
That's a woman. That's a woman.
Where does a pearl come from? The ocean. Yeah. Which ocean? What kind of ocean? It's like, okay, calm down. But I did also love the fact that – I love that Dorit says PK can't keep a secret and PK overshares all the time and PK is always talking too much. And I'm like, no wonder Dorit thinks that she doesn't talk as much. It's because PK talks so much.
Something just occurred to me.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if PK is the one who called Radar online on a juicy is he the one who blabbed?
Well, let me tell you something.
And he let Lisa take the fall for that.
Let's just say it. Despite Lisa Vanderpump no longer being on the show, we still somehow have leaks to Radar Online. So who could it be? I don't know.
Maybe PK's making money somewhere.
Like, yeah, that's
who's
true.
Who's paying PK? Is he working for Radar Online?
I don't know, but he owed like the Borgata or something. I don't think it was a Borgata. Borgata is like the casino in Atlantic City. Yeah. There's no way he owed the Borgata money. I mean, if he did owe the Borgata money, he would have been like Frank Catania with his thighs busted, living in David's house, getting recovered from a construction, quote unquote, construction accident.
Yeah.
But he's paying the bills somehow. They keep buying houses, so who knows?
Yeah.
But PK does say that Tom is a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the moment. They must have had a conversation where PK was like, Dorit, you have to be honest with Erica about what you said.
Yeah.
Because she will come for you.
So it's not even about she coming for you. It's PK telling her that you have to go on camera, on record, and say something. Because Dorit brings it up a couple of times and it doesn't get quite picked up.
Yes.
And then she made a big statement about it today.
Yes.
So it was like, he is like, you need to go on record as saying you have questions.
Yes.
Because then that covers our butt.
Yes, exactly. Then we have this meeting with Sutton and Kyle. Mm-hmm. And Sutton is talking about how she's just really freaked out by how much Erica keeps coming for her. Mm-hmm. And I want to point out to everybody, pay attention to what Kyle's doing. Kyle is asking Sutton how she feels. You know, Kyle mm-hmm. is known to, quote unquote, move the plot along.
Yeah.
Kyle always asks these poignant questions that move things along. And she mm-hmm. asks Sutton, how do you feel about this? And she encourages Sutton to speak her truth and be honest with Erica mm-hmm. and say what is really on her mind. So you have to remember that prior in the last episode, Kyle met with Rinna and Erica and told mm-hmm. her what Sutton was doing, that she only cared about her own reputation or whatever. Then Kyle goes to Sutton and says, oh, that was so strange, right? How Erica reacted. What do you think about that? Like, mm-hmm. Kyle, you know why Erica reacted that way. It's because you said that shit to Sutton. Or you said that shit to Erica. So Kyle and Rinna, you have to pay attention, are riling up Erica on the side. And then they're also at the same time pushing Sutton to, quote unquote, speak her truth. And all of this is because they want the fight to happen. Like, regardless of anything, they're also to blame about why Erica starts to freak out and starts to cry, right? And not to give Erica any fucking credit, because she's obviously a scammer and a liar. But when Erica's sitting there and she's sobbing and she's saying, why are you guys doing this to me? Why are you torturing me? Mm-hmm. It's the fact that she knows that Rinna and Kyle are forcing these conversations to happen on camera. Yeah. I think that's what that reaction is.
Right. Kyle is sitting there lapping it all up like, ooh, here's another juicy piece. I can go and start for the next fight.
Yes.
And
she's
so happy about it. And this was the second time Sutton is trusting her.
Dummy.
Yeah.
At this point, Sutton, you are to blame. And I will say, I do think that there's a point here because I get it. I can see myself doing the same thing, getting all mouthy and sassy with my friends, talking shit about somebody. And then when they're like, say that same thing to that person, I'm like, well, actually, what I meant was that is such a relatable thing. And they're basically using that against Sutton, which is actually something that Lisa Rinna used to do. Lisa Rinna used to make jokes and be snarky, and then they would call her out on it in a way to be like, you hurt that person. Why did you make that joke? They did the same thing to Dorit when she first came on the show, because Dorit made a joke about the panties, and what was a laugh before turned into a serious matter.
Yes. They do that all the time.
This
they
is like the formula.
Yeah, this is their formula, which didn't quite click until this season, and only because it's such a, because it required a Sutton to be there to pick up on that.
Yes.
And last year was her first season. This year, she is primed for that. And you need a person like Sutton who has irrational concerns and emotions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like a Shannon.
React. Yeah, you exactly. You need something like that to react to it. Otherwise, all of that shenanigans doesn't work.
Yes, exactly. So
that's why this worked. There's also a scene with in Crystal's house.
Yes, let's talk about that scene. First of all, the food looked delicious.
Yes, and I was surprised that Kathy was invited, but not Kyle.
A very strange
But Crystal bunch. And Kathy are much closer friends, so that's okay. But it was kind of, it was a strange bunch.
Crystal, Kathy, fine. Even Garcelle, Crystal, fine.
Yes.
The fuck is Erica doing? Even Garcelle, when she opened the door, Garcelle was like, you don't live here.
Yeah. I know.
It was strange.
Yeah.
But this is where, you know, Crystal really dives into her housewife-ness. And we have to remind you guys that it doesn't matter how much you like a housewife. It doesn't matter how sweet you think they are. It doesn't matter how cool you think they are. Mm-hmm. When somebody has a desire to become a housewife, they have to be a little bit of an asshole.
Mm-hmm. And also, people are looking at us as we are South Asian women of color. And yes. We come and support any woman of color who's on TV. Yes. If she's being bullied or if we think that she's facing microaggressions, we talk about it. But we can also recognize that assholery is not restricted to a race. You can be of any race and be an asshole. You can have, in fact, it doesn't change who you are. So if you're a rich bitch, snobbish, and you are a little bit of an asshole, you are going to be that too, while at the same time being subject to microaggressions because you're a woman of color. One does not preclude the other.
Yeah. Crystal has every reason to not like Sutton. We've talked about this a million times.
Yeah.
If I was Crystal, I probably wouldn't like Sutton either. Now, if I was Crystal and I didn't like Sutton, would I then give ammo to Erica against Sutton? I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I would say, okay, Sutton's a crazy person and Erica's a criminal. Let me continue hanging out with my rich ass friend, Kathy Hilton.
Right.
And not say a damn thing. But as it is human nature, when you are a little bit of an asshole, you start doing a little bit of shit talk and you say things like, you keep this shit up and your ass is going to be back to Augusta or whatever the hell she said. Like, I did love when Garcelle was like, I didn't know Crystal. I knew Rob. Yeah. I didn't know Crystal.
Yeah, so what Erica says was funny to me because Erica says, I don't know, why would she be bothered about what's happening in my life? And then Kathy does what I do, which is basically talk in riddles. And she's like, yeah, let me tell you one thing. Good news and bad news. No one cares. Like, who are you talking about? Are you talking pro or against? Nobody knows what exactly. What is Kathy referring to?
Okay, but so this happens because Erica says that it's insane, you know? Like, why does Sutton care about her own reputation? I think it's interesting because Erica is still viewing all of the stuff that's coming out, right?
Yeah.
Sutton wanting to know questions, wanting even Sutton being concerned about her reputation. Uh-huh. Erica still views it from the lens of people are behaving this way because I don't have money anymore.
Right.
And I think that that's a really important distinction because that goes to show you how much Erica thinks she's not involved in this whole situation and how highly she thinks of money. So even in that situation, she says Kathy Hilton should care about reputation, not Sutton Strack.
Exactly.
You know, Hilton, have you heard of it? Right. Okay, Erica, we know who Kathy fucking Hilton is. Like, so she brings that up. And I think everybody's lens of it is very different. Like, Crystal is talking shit about Sutton because Sutton is annoying. Mm-hmm. Erica is talking shit about Sutton because she thinks Sutton doesn't like her anymore because she's not rich. And she thinks of Sutton as like a snobby Southern woman. Right. Kathy doesn't know what anybody is talking about.
What she's trying to convey to them is, I don't care. So I don't know why we are talking about this because I don't care. That's what she's trying to say. What is funny about that whole situation is that Erica says that Sutton is a rich snob trying to put her down for not having money. But then Erica flips it around and looks at Kathy and says, you and I belong to the same country club and no one's heard of her, which is what she's thinking Sutton is doing to her.
Yeah, exactly.
It is what she thinks Sutton is putting her down in her country club and pretending you are poor so you don't belong here.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
She is trying to do the same to Sutton and say, I don't even know who she is.
Yes. Yeah, they're doing the same exact thing.
Which is so bizarre. Like, you're doing exactly what you think Sutton is doing to you.
Yes, that's such a good point.
And by the way, you don't belong to that country club anymore.
Yeah. You're part of that country club. Also, Kathy is like, she's like, the bad news is all my family's business is out there. The good news is that nobody cares, right? It's like, okay, Kathy, you're saying that nobody cares, but literally last episode, you were telling Kyle you didn't watch American Woman and Kyle should have never made American Woman because people shouldn't be talking about their family's past. So no, Kathy, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And in the whole time, Garcelle is like, why am I here?
She's like, I have never eaten duck. And I'm tasting duck for the first time. That's all Garcelle should focus on. Ooh, duck.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this conversation is a waste of Garcelle's time.
Yeah. Kyle and Mauricio have their anniversary. I know you wanted to talk about Mauricio.
This is, so this episode was labeled Dinner Party from Hell Part 2. And the first dinner party from hell was one with Alison Dubois.
Yes.
And that was when Alison Dubois told Kyle that Mauricio will never fulfill her.
No,
that. So this Dinner Party from Hell Part 2 was about Kyle and Mauricio's dinner celebrating the 20th anniversary. Know that, Alison Dubois.
Wow, look at that. You're really pro-Mo and Kyle, huh?
No, I'm pro-Mo. I'm pro-ADD and,
high-Mo.
High as shit, Mo. Just the right, he has found the right balance. It gives him, munchies. So he's like, Kyle is blah, 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 romantic shit. And he's like, no, I need food. Are you going to eat that last piece? I'm going to eat that. I just loved it. I just loved that he didn't care. That was the wedding anniversary he was going to give Kyle. Kyle wanted that car that Sutton had. She kept saying how wonderful the car was. Mauricio was like, no, you get crappy balloons from Party City. I'm already high. We're not going anywhere. Let's just eat.
Yeah.
I don't even know why you're dressed up. You might as well change. He's like, why are you dressed up in this fancy clothes? It's going to get all messy.
It grabs me because in all of these scenes, you have the women in like full glam and the husbands are always just like bumming it. They're always like literally rolled out of bed to film this scene and go back upstairs. Like
they haven't shaved. They
know.
Just so hilarious. I love that they showed Mauricio and PK this episode. I don't know. I like them. I like the men not caring at all and just bumming it. I don't like when men get all worked up and involved.
PK really wants to get involved.
Oh, yeah.
If it were up to him, he would be totally involved.
If it were up to him, he would be rebranding Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yes, yes.
He would be like looking at what ocean did this pearl come from. That's what he would be asking Andy Cohen. It's a diamond. They're holding a diamond. Diamond from where? Let's think about that.
Then we have this, the actual dinner party from hell at Kathy's house. I wouldn't call this dinner party from hell. This reminded me more of like, it wasn't of course as epic as it, but it reminded me a lot more of the fight in Miami at the dinner in New York where like Carol and Bethany were fighting, Tinsley and Sonia were kissing, Dorinda and Lou are fighting. Like that, it reminded me more of that because every time you cut to two people talking, you could hear other people arguing in the background. So it was great.
It also reminded me of Walter from...
Yes, Patrick and Walter. Two
Patrick
peas in a pod.
And Walter. I know, but they're also opposites. Walter never speaks. He's very stoic.
Yeah.
And Patrick won't shut up.
Now, Patrick reminded me more of... Remember Adrian's chef?
Yes.
What was his name?
Bernie. Yes, I was going to ask you, who do you think would win if Patrick and Bernie went at each other?
Okay, first of all, forget that. I think we finally found out who our Radar Online leak is.
Who's that, Bernie?
It's Patrick.
Patrick. Radar Online.
Also, like, it reminded me a little bit of Downton Abbey. Because it was, like, such a fancy dinner. And then it reminded me of who was the lead, like, butler in Downton Abbey?
Oh, what was his name?
Mr. Carson.
Mr. Carson, yes.
It reminded me of Mr. Carson when he, like, goes back into the kitchen and he's like, they're fighting cats and dogs. And I was like, I could hear Mr. Carson saying that. And him also, like, awkwardly standing behind them with, like, a plate of lamb chops, like, trying to drop in the lamb chops while, like, the women are, like, yap-yapping at each other. So,
Let's start at the beginning of that dinner, though. Kathy has been polishing her silver, cleaning her cutlery.
Yes.
Or is it the other way around?
Whatever. No, she's polishing her silver, cleaning her crystal.
For some reason, she is pulling all the stops for these women, which she doesn't have to, but she is. It's wasted on them, but sure.
Did you think that was actually her dining room?
That's what Ben and Ronnie talked about. And they were like, is this her dining room? Is it like the pet's room that she opened up?
It was okay, because it was really small.
Yeah, it was small. Maybe she has two dining rooms. She has like a little, yeah. Maybe she has two dining rooms, one that's larger for bigger groups and one smaller.
Yeah, it just felt too small for me.
It felt like it was too in the front of the house.
Yes.
Like it's, yes. You come in and immediately there's the living area where they're all sitting. And then it's like right immediately you're going into the dining room. It was like a guest house. Maybe it was a guest house.
It seems like a room that you only let people go to when you don't allow them to see the rest of your house.
Right.
And maybe that is on purpose. Maybe rich people do that because they don't want people going into the rest of their house. Who knows?
Yeah. In any case, she's like, let me tell you something. If I'm throwing a party, don't come show up on time. So we would be on time for Kathy. Because I never show up on time.
Never.
I show up like at least 30, 40 minutes later.
Every time.
And I'm going to overstay. Because that's who I am.
Yes. I'm going to be like, is there any caviar pie left over? Because I'll eat that.
Do you have Tupperware? Do you have a yogurt dabba?
Give me your Danone containers. There must be some Danone containers. Patrick is like, we don't do Danone. We only do Sfaye. And it's like, okay, Patrick, give me your Sfaye container.
Yeah, then. That's shorter. But it's okay. Then we'll take two of those containers because it will all fit in. The Danone container is the right size. It's a meal for one person. It's a meal for two. It's in one Danone container. That's the right size.
Yes.
So put that in.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we would be there digging in their cupboards for the Danone containers so we could take some take home.
I'd be like, you know, Kathy, you sit down. I'll go make myself home at home with the kitchen.
Yeah.
Patrick, let me help you out.
Yeah. Kathy calls herself the fluffer. Are you a fluffer or are you a doer? Are you Kyle cooking and burning your food or are you actually have people doing it and then you just go fluffing?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not rich, so I have to do all of it.
Oh, would you prefer?
Oh, would I prefer? Yeah. I would prefer to be the doer. Still.
Doer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell is the point of people coming over if I'm not actually doing anything?
The point is socializing with them. No, like, I want to be out there.
I'm glad
you're the doer because I'm completely the fluffer. I want to be talking. I want everything look nice.
I have a little bit of a trigger with the fluffer. First of all, fluffer is what, let's just talk about it. It's a job at pornos to keep the talent erect. Mm-hmm. So we are neither of us would be fluffers. But I have a little trigger from the idea of just going around and primping things up to make things look nice before guests arrive. Because I've mentioned in the podcast before, I've got two older brothers, us the younger two, we used to always have to be the ones polishing the china and crystal before parties and helping my mom out and everything, right? And the older one, because he was such a brat, he was Mr. Prince, he would just walk into the formal living room and he would just fix the pillows. That was his one thing that he did. And so it would always piss me off because when guests were coming into the house, they would just see him fixing the pillows.
Look, you know what? I would prefer not to cook. I would like to set the table and do all of that. I would like to do the prep of the deco.
You want to, you want to be like Sandra Lee with her tablescapes.
Yes. And you can be Ina.
Fun fact about me. Yes, I'm definitely more Ina than Sandra Lee. Fun fact about me. I can't stand tablescapes. I'm like Crystal in that your table should just be filled with food. Mm-hmm. I don't need to make my table look beautiful.
I never have time to do that because whenever I do, because I'm poor. I have to cook and do all of that. So I barely pick, clean my eyebrows before I have to be in front of people. So I don't even, I'm always upstairs, still in my pajamas, smelling like onions and chutney, trying to take a quick shower and hide the odors while everybody else is having a great time downstairs.
I'm almost always in the shower when guests are arriving.
Yeah.
Always.
Always.
But anyway, back to this dinner party. None of these rich people have to worry about that because they've got a full staff. But the most important thing that happens is Sutton tries to, the conversation she's had with Kyle, where she's like, I'm going to address it with Erica head on. She goes to Erica and he's like, hey, Erica, so I know we had an interaction, but if you want to talk about it, and Erica's go fuck yourself, which I understand. I understand Erica's sentiment then, and I kind of got annoyed with
that. Was the first time I felt that this was real Erica, that she really meant it there.
Yeah. And also I was annoyed with Sutton because I was okay, where are your balls, ma'am?
Yeah.
Where are your balls? Because Correct. This is really wimpy, whatever you're doing. Erica does this thing where she like enunciates her T's and it's very funny and phony to me. She's like, your opinion of me does not matter. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah. She sort of like for a few seconds there, she was channeling Giselle.
Yes. Yes, it was very Giselle. That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Erica shuts Sutton down and goes to the bathroom. Everybody comes back. And then Dorit is like, well, before anything else starts, let me just go ahead and get back on my soapbox about Garcelle.
Everybody's like, she's like, PK give me a homework. Let me get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Let me just make a big scene about that. And she's like, I don't want to hijack the conversation. And Kathy immediately says, but you do all the time.
Yeah. Kathy's
and
like,
that,
you do.
By the way. Yeah. And by the way, that is Kathy jabbing at Dorit. But Dorit doesn't say a word.
Mm. Mm.
It's only when Garcelle does it. It's never when Kathy does it. And this is not the first time Kathy has done it. Kathy has made fun of her.
Yes.
It's never. Dorit doesn't get offended. She literally, Kathy literally shut up Dorit mid-sentence.
Yeah.
And Dorit was fine.
Well, there's definitely like a classist, elitist air in this entire program where, you know, we said this before when the season started. Somebody asked, I think it was Les. We were on Les's podcast, Reality Reading Rainbow. And he said something like, I'm worried about Garcelle or something like that. Right. And we said, nobody's worried about Crystal. And it was like, Crystal in this situation is the richest person on this cast besides Kathy.
Right.
Crystal has more money than Kyle and Dorit and Rena probably combined.
Right. Right.
So there is a definitely like a hierarchy that happens on the show that is based on money. Mm-hmm. And ultimately in their eyes, Garcelle is not as rich or popular enough on this show for her to get their respect or their attention.
Right.
And I have to, you know, Crystal is a person of color. And so they give Crystal that respect. So somebody can look at it and say, oh, well, Crystal gets respect. And she's a person of color. Why would you say that it's a race issue against Garcelle? Well, because
Crystal is a model minority.
Yes, exactly.
This is a perfect example of a model minority.
Yes. Again, she has every reason not to like Sutton. She has every reason not to side with her in this particular situation. It's totally fine. But there is this thing where they look at an Asian woman and they think that as long as she is falling in line and she's quiet and she's not saying anything to ruffle our feathers, then she can still be our friends.
Right. Guaranteed. And as long as she is rich enough and all of that.
Yes. Too. As long as she's rich and successful enough.
They need her professionally.
Yes.
Then that's okay.
Yes. There's a lot of different layered things that are happening, maybe not blatantly, maybe not actively, maybe they don't even realize that they're doing it, but there's a lot of different dynamics that societally we do take note of, like Crystal or Garcelle and how Garcelle is treated. So Kathy shuts Dorit down. I don't know if Erica went to the bathroom and came back drunk or something, or like took something. She did a line of coke back there. Yeah. But she came back on something. She came back really upset.
She went and squeezed some tears into her eyes.
Oh, you think that's what it was?
Yeah, it was just fake. She's like, okay, let's go through the lines. She went, she talked to herself in the mirror, squeezed some glycerin in her eyes, and then she walked out.
Oh, that's brilliant. Of course, Rinna, being the shit star that she is, says, I have this annoying bell, and I'm going to pass it on to somebody, and you have to say what's on your mind, which is like so fuck. It's like, Rinna, why are you even pretending to play this dumb game?
Yeah. She drank a lot, and then she's like, I'm already drunk. Anything that comes out of my mouth, I'm not responsible for it. So she could hide behind that.
Yeah.
And then she proceeded to just be quiet, ringing a bell and saying stupid stuff.
Yes. This is where the conversation starts with Sutton and Garcelle. Erica says, it has nothing to do with you. What I'm going through has nothing to do with you, and it's not going to affect you. And suddenly Dorit gets some balls, which I was like, okay, good for you, Dorit. Mm-hmm. She speaks up. And this is where Erica lost it. Yeah. So the minute that Dorit starts to chime in and agree to some degree with Sutton, that's when Erica really starts to lose her mind.
I think Erica panics for a second.
She panics for a second because Kyle hasn't spoken up. up in her defense mm-hmm. at this moment. Dorit is agreeing with Sutton mm-hmm. to some degree.
Yeah.
And now is suddenly where she starts to panic. So Garcelle is trying to be as tender to Erica as possible and really try to have like a real human moment with her. Ugh. And Erica is just being a fucking asshole. I have to point this mm-hmm. out because we posted this gif of Erica crying in Hong mm-hmm. Kong. Mm-hmm. And Kyle dabbing Erica's tears with her finger and Erica yeah. not moving a muscle. She doesn't even right. flinch.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, oh, well, Garcelle was totally out of line for trying to touch Erica's face. Garcelle was hugging Erica. She was trying to calm her down. She was trying to say, like, it's okay. Because Erica's sitting there later and saying, none of you support me. Yeah. And it's like, what are you talking about? There's a woman sitting right next to you, hugging you and supporting you.
Held your hand, told you, don't look at me like that. Don't cry. Oh, please don't cry. And then was so gentle with her. So gentle with her. Yeah. And she whips her head back and says, don't touch me. You can take your hand off me.
No, she says, you can let go of me now.
Let go of me now. Yeah.
Now, everyone's like, oh, well, the Hong Kong thing, her son was brought up. No, this is not the scene where her son was brought up. So mm-hmm. I watched that episode because I was mm-hmm. like, what exactly happened? Why was Erica mm-hmm. crying? Because we've yeah. seldom seen Erica cry.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
in that scene, she cried because they were on the junk boat mm-hmm. and Dorit and Rinna were fighting.
Yeah.
Dorit and Rinna were fighting. It was the whole thing about the Xanax smoothies. And
oh, yeah.
Rinna was trying to have a discussion with Dorit and Erica chimed in.
Uh-huh.
And Erica started to speak up for Rinna. And Erica started yeah. to fight Rinna's fight. And I realized that Erica does that a lot and Rinna uh-huh. does that a lot. They fight for each other. But yeah. it's not as blatant as like other – it's not like as supportive as you would think. But they're very, very good at like throwing these sort of softballs at each other yeah. to hit it out of the park. But yeah. Erica starts to have a discussion with Dorit. Dorit then brings up the Pantygate thing and all this stuff. And Dorit essentially says that Erica has no personality. She's an ice queen. She doesn't talk, yeah. blah, blah, blah. And so Erica is crying because Dorit said that she had no personality.
Right.
That's why Erica is crying in that gif yeah. that I posted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at this point, Erica barely knows these women. This is only Erica's second season.
Mm-hmm.
So for Erica to then accept Kyle wiping a tear off her face because Dorit basically said she was boring.
Yeah.
And then for her to flinch and have this insane reaction to Garcelle trying to comfort her and also have an insane reaction to Garcelle saying something in Tahoe.
Yes.
As a woman of color, I'm watching this and I'm going, this is a weird reaction. This right. is a weird reaction for you to have with the one other woman of color on the show.
So far, Sutton and even Dorit in this episode have said worse things to Erica yes. than Garcelle ever did.
Yes, but they don't get the reaction from Erica that yeah. they don't get treated the same way as Garcelle.
Right. Right.
And it's really, really strange because this is when Erica really starts to lose her mind. She starts to change her voice. She sounds like the brother from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Brad Garrett.
Brad Garrett. She sounds like Brad Garrett. She's like, why are you torturing me? Look at me. Right? And Erica and then Rinna tries to chime in with the, we just need to love each other. Love yeah. thy neighbor. And that's when Erica's wait. Like, shut up, Rinna. That's bullshit. And then she's like, why don't you all have some compassion for me? And it's like,
yeah.
you presented yourself for 6 years to be this very cold, ice cold person, the shell yeah. of a human, Miss Glam, Miss I don't give yeah. a fuck. How many fucks do I give? It's expensive to meet me. Yeah. And now you're sitting here and you're sobbing. You're expecting people to be compassionate to you. And it's very difficult to.
It's not even just that. It's the fact that she hasn't yet to express any compassion for the victims.
Yes.
That's the part that is bothering a lot of because that is what is incongruent, right?
Yeah.
It's like when even Dorit says, I didn't think you were aware of all of this coming out. All of what you're saying is not something that you prepared us for. All yes. this that is happening, we didn't know it was coming and you didn't prepare us for it. Because then you would have to talk about the victims and she has yet to talk about Tom's issues and what Tom did to these victims.
Yes.
She still wants to focus on Tom and her divorce.
Yes, because in Erica's mind, as we said last week, Erica is the only victim.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the legal stuff and the victims and the money that the victims are owed, mm-hmm. she says, benefit of doubt to Tom, innocent until proven guilty. And when it comes to her, when it comes to her quote unquote terrible, difficult life that is so tortured, she is the victim and she was hurt and she was the one that was trapped in an insane marriage. So I think it was the other part of about Sutton that really annoyed me was, so Kyle gets in Sutton's face and she's like, Sutton, you're being two-faced. And you're putting us in a bad place because you say one thing to us and now you're acting a different way to Erica's face. You told us that you don't believe her, which I was like, that's true. That is what Sutton said. But also Kyle is like, you're putting us in a bad place because you're two-faced. So if Sutton is two-faced because she won't say what she wants to Erica's face and she's now quote unquote a liar and that puts Kyle in a bad place, then what does it put Kyle in if she's friends with Erica, who's such a liar for 5 years that you don't even know anything about this woman?
Right. Why are you picking on Sutton for lying or not being completely truthful, but you will not address Erica lying to you?
Yeah. Rinna and Kyle have had enough conversations with Sutton to basically put her in a corner where the narrative changes from what did Erica do to what is Sutton not saying.
Yes.
Rather than what is Erica not saying, it's what is Sutton not saying.
Right. The other thing that struck me was that the way Kyle breaks into that is when Erica is talking to Dorit. And the more Dorit talked, Erica was crying. And then Kyle immediately tries to diffuse that situation by putting the attention on Sutton. Like, no. Dorit is not at fault. It's Sutton. This is all started because of Sutton.
Yep.
That's where your attention should be, Erica. Stop talking to Dorit because Dorit is part of our group.
Yep, exactly. She switches it back to make sure that Sutton is a scapegoat, which is what Garcelle says, because Dorit agreed and said, agreed with everything that Sutton is saying.
Yeah.
She had agreed with it. And now she's even saying that she agrees with it. And Kyle
and she's
like,
asking some hard questions. She's like, when I hear about the widows and the orphans, that makes it difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when your name is taken in press, our name is too. You can understand why that would bother us. And Garcelle, even in this situation, is coming to Dorit's rescue here, trying to explain it to her, still being nice. But Erica doesn't understand. Erica is crying and looking at Dorit with her eyes all, how could you, Dorit?
Yes, exactly. That Erica kind of wants blind loyalty. Erica, essentially, she wants blind loyalty. That's all they want. It's a very mob boss situation. She kind of functions that way.
Like, very much so. I think that's how Tom Girardi functions. And she's basically emulating what she says Tom does to her.
Well, she did spend a good amount of time at Shakers in New Jersey.
Yes.
So she could have picked up a thing or two there.
Yeah.
Okay, no, one more thing I forgot to talk about was during the dinner, Crystal says this insane thing about Me Too. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, we need to talk about that. Because that was fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay,
again, a reminder, you can be a person of color with shitty opinions. Who is sometimes great TV, wonderful moment where she talked about, I want to teach my kids Chinese. It's important for their culture, blah, blah, blah. Totally relatable. But then also says something completely insane like this. So the topic is Sutton caring about her reputation because she is on the show with Erica. And Dorit says, our name gets dragged through the mud every single time an article is written about you.
Right.
And Crystal says, Rob has worked with guys who ended up getting Me Too'd. And it hasn't affected him at all.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just take a pause there for a second. Crystal, does Rob still work with the people that got Me Too'd? Probably not.
And Crystal, when his colleagues were being Me Too'd, how did Rob behave? Yeah. Did he just stand back and say, has nothing to do with me?
Yeah.
Or did he sit in boardrooms talking to people, doing risk analysis, trying to figure out what PR do they need to do? How are they going to handle these employees and their coworkers? Yes. Did they not discuss all of that? Do you think he just sat back and did nothing and watched as his colleagues were being me-tooed and didn't think that this was not going to affect his job or his career or his associations and his plans for the future, where he may have been planning to work with these guys?
Yes.
He may have invested money in these and time and energy into all of those projects with these guys?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Rinna. Remember that story you told us about Harry Hamlin's friend who ended up being a rapist?
Mm-hmm.
And how Harry never wants anything to do with that guy?
Yeah.
What happened to that?
Yeah.
What happened to disassociating yourself from people who do terrible things?
Mm-hmm. Like
what
Denise.
Happened to that?
Like Denise.
Like Denise.
Denise. That was, for whatever reason, what Denise did in her bedroom.
Yes.
Bothered you.
Yeah, you said she was a liar.
Yeah.
You said she lied about her personal relationships, just like Erica is lying about her personal relationships.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But back to the Me Too point. Okay, first of all, like saying that so casually, like, oh, Rob had guys get Me Too'd from his movies. Like,
yeah.
The callousness with how you're talking about it sounds
like. It's
not
like, callous, it's cavalier.
Yes.
Is the better word.
Yes.
She's just so nonchalant about it.
Nonchalant about it. As if like, oh yeah, it was just some guys who maybe may have like sexually assaulted somebody. No big deal.
Yeah.
Even Bella said, fuck that shit.
Yeah, fuck that shit. Yeah. Bella never speaks. Bella never speaks.
She never speaks. She's like, it's usually Harold. And even this time Bella was like, and I have it a thought as well.
She's like, fuck that shit. She's like sitting at the top of the sofa.
She's so cute.
What's going on?
But yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, it was really, really bizarre for me to hear Crystal say that because it was just like, one, it has nothing to do with the situation. Secondly, you're actually not making a great point because you're basically downgrading probably what Rob had to do in his job when those people got Me Too'd. Or you're admitting to your husband continuing to associate with people who got Me Too'd. And you are downplaying what it means to get Me Too'd. Oh my God.
Like, again, what? Crystal is doing what Erica is doing, which is not thinking about the victims.
Yes. Yes.
They're thinking about the situation and how it affects them.
Yes.
And the thing, again, I have to say that Erica is thinking about how the situation in this case, the fact that all the women are talking about her affects her.
Yes.
Just like Sutton is thinking about what is happening to Erica affects her.
Yes.
Anything that they accuse Sutton of, they are all guilty of too. Because they're all thinking of their own skin and not thinking about the victims, except for Garcelle.
Yes.
She is the one that keeps bringing it up.
Yes.
She is the one showing the most compassion for Erica too.
Also, weirdly, a little bit Dorit.
Yeah, a little bit Dorit, but Dorit comes from, she uses that.
Yeah, it's self-serving.
Self-serving. Garcelle is the only one that doesn't say, I care about being associated with you.
Yeah.
Garcelle doesn't say, I don't want to do it anything to do with it. Garcelle is saying, I want to hear you say you're sorry for the victims. And you're not saying that. And that is bothering me.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yes.
Terrible, terrible, terrible people. But what a great, you know, season.
What a great 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
But I'm gonna probably watch it again just because it was such entertaining television too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The way that Beverly Hills is also filmed is great.
Yeah.
If you notice with New York, mm-hmm. when they're all sitting at a table, there's one camera in the front of the table that just stands there and moves around kind of a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But with Beverly Hills, they really station these cameras in really great spots to get
They capture, like when Erica's talking, they capture Garcelle's
expression. The cinematography is amazing.
Yes.
That's true. The funniest is, you know, obviously just Erica crying about her life. It's like, come on.
Yeah, look at me. Look at me. And Erica says, Dorit, do you want to swap places with me? And Dorit is like, no, honey. Nobody wants to swap places.
I know.
Why would I want this nightmare?
She was like, don't you remember when that lady chased us around in the Bahamas? At the pool? Of course I don't want this.
Why would I want to? She's like, no.
I know.
And to top it all was just stupid Rina and her outfit. What was that?
She looked like Evil Brat from Despicable Me, guys. Watch Despicable Me 3. I've watched it about 1,000 times because I do have children. And as soon as she came on the TV, I was like, oh my God, it's Despicable Me. It's the bad guy from Despicable Me. I mean, it was just still a really good episode. I loved it. I thought it was just excellent television. And again, it makes me really happy for Beverly Hills. It makes me really sad for New York because I wonder what we're looking at in terms of the quality of housewives. Now, I remember last year we found out that Salt Lake City, initially when Salt Lake City was filmed, it was filmed using the producers from Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. And then they switched halfway to the producers from New York.
New York.
Yeah. And that's why they said Salt Lake City was so good.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, which producers did you use? Because I hope you didn't use the New York ones for Salt Lake City. I hope you went back to the Beverly Hills ones, because I want this type of beautiful, like the shots, the angles. I think they still stuck with New York, because I think Salt Lake City also, there's just like so much content.
Right. Yes, it's the angles and all of that, but also it's the storylines and why it's so interesting to all of us, because it sort of goes with the mood of the country, everything that we've all been through for the past few years, and this feels like redemption. No, we didn't get a lot of people that should be in prison or not in prison, but maybe these two will be.
Yeah,
because exactly. That's where it's coming. That's where
that's a great point.
Like, you know, like everybody got out of it. We couldn't get a lot of perpetrators into prison, but maybe these two will pay the price. We are all being part of a mob thirsting for some blood, because...
Yeah, I think that there's a little bit of like misdirected rage of like just having to deal with like the Trump family and the snakes that they were, and kind of putting it on Erica. I mean, they're terrible in another way.
Yeah.
And Erica probably still deserves it. But, you know, I think the other thing that really bothered me about Sutton this episode was when they said, oh, Sutton, you're a liar. Or you said, Sutton, you said that Erica is a liar. The only reason she brings up is, oh, because the accident story changed. Mm-hmm. When Sutton, you had so many things to say. Dorit herself said, everything I've known about Erica for the last 5 years is a diametric opposite, right?
Right.
That is what you should have said. You should have said, Erica, we thought you were a different person. You said in Tahoe that your marriage was great.
Yeah.
You said that you were a boss bitch. You were this tough lady. And now look at you, and we have nothing. We know nothing about you. We know nothing about your life.
We don't know which Erica to believe.
Yeah. So
and that's
her sitting
confusing
there,
us.
Yeah. Her sitting there and saying, I'm not a liar. It's like, you are a liar. You have lied about something.
Yeah.
You just need to come. And then she keeps saying, like, one day when this is over, I'm going to trust me. It's going to be over and it's going to be blah, blah, and I will remember who was there for me. Trust me. And I was like, nobody wants to trust you, ma'am. There's nothing for us to trust.
But also, one day when everything is over, you'll be poor again. And what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, what, Erica? Oh, what? We could ask you the same thing. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So half of them were not on your side. Now what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Stop threatening. Stop sitting there giving all these, you know, wonderful meme-worthy or gif-worthy dialogues that go nowhere.
I want Sutton to consult with Meredith Marks before the reunion, because it looks like Meredith Marks really knows what she's getting herself into for against Jensha.
Yeah. I want Sutton, Meredith Marks, and Megan King Edmonds.
Mm.
I want the three of them to start a detective agency.
Well, speaking of Megan, did you see who is supporting Erica Jane?
Who is it?
My father. Megan, my father, McCain. Like, no surprise. No surprise.
No.
Not surprised. Yeah.
Not surprised at all.
All right. But that's it for this week. We will catch you guys next week. There is a Potomac episode on Sunday, which is very exciting.
Oh, awesome. I thought it wasn't going to be on.
I know. I thought so, too. But there you go.
I'm glad.
Yeah. So we will talk to you then. Goodbye.